Here at UTAS Towers, we have one motto. There is no such thing as too much UTAS. So welcome along to our brand new feature, the monthly mailbag. This is an opportunity for us to answer some questions that aren't specifically about the games happening at the moment, to give us a bit of a sort of a view of United, a bit of a wider view. So what's going on with the ground? Who are the best debuts? Just some of the things we're going to be talking about today, and a few silly ones chucked in as well. To help me dive into the mailbag, I've got Jordan Warland with me. How are you, mate?
I'm very well.
You excited about the new feature?
I'm so excited about the new feature, so much so that I was telling the future Mrs. Warland all about it earlier. And I said, oh, it's a generic Cambridge chat, this pod. And foolishly, because I didn't use Cambridge United, she then asked me, are you, Tom and Julian, just going to talk about Cambridge things?
Potholes on Mill Road or something.
What's going on around Cambridge and all that stuff. So I am excited, but I'm also now prepared to talk about it or pitch it correctly. But I'm also happy to talk about potholes around Mill Road.
Yeah, Tom, what's your knowledge of potholes around Mill Road?
It's the roadworks, isn't it? It's got everyone up in arms at the moment, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I'm
obviously with
delaying games and all sorts, mate.
We've obviously since departed to pastures new, so we can just slag off the U lads or something, can't we, Julian?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let's turn this proper Brexit.
Bloody hell, 2 minutes into the new feature and it's already been ruined by Tom.
Tom Nimby Walker.
Yeah. Right, let's get cracking. I'm going to dive into the mailbag for the first question. This one, we got two asking the same question here, Adam and Jamie. Something we didn't talk about on the Fleetwood pod for this exact reason. The question is, was that the best United debut since? So best United debuts. Tom, what have you got?
I took this in the context of notable striker comes in, makes impact, which is obviously what happened. Nice. Big Bad Baz, isn't it? It's got to be.
Yeah, Big Bad Baz.
Obviously, he came in with a bit of a rep, and I think it was Newport, first day of the season. Scored twice, what are you worried about? So, yeah. It was,
He also bagged a load in pre-season. I think we played like Ipswich at home.
That's the real quiz.
And I think I seem to remember him scoring kind of the same goal from a corner from each side.
It's quite easy to forget how good Cole actually was for us, isn't it? Well, like,
because he only played like 10 games.
That's the thing, yeah. But you forget that, like, you know, obviously he joined us towards the end of his career. His knee was giving him trouble whenever he got on the pitch. And we were sort of just meandering in the lower end of League Two. So, like, it's hard to look at those years with, like, particular fondness, I think. But he was such a good striker for us as well.
I think he's going to be one of them that, in this particular feature, we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's always been things like, who do you feel didn't like live up to like the full potential of what they could have been? And that's not like, it's not a sly on Barry Corr, but if he had been fully fit for like a couple of seasons, he would have scored he would have scored for fun, basically.
Yeah,
what a guy. Still with us.
Of course. Jord, I hope you've gone back into the archives for a good debut here.
I've not gone too far into the archives, but my first answer, and I wasn't sure if I could give this answer, because this was a youth product who had been in the squad and been in match day squads but hadn't started. That, so I wasn't sure if that was allowed. So like their first like proper start, if we're allowing that. But
we'll give you it.
I'm fine with it.
Good. I mean he went on to save a penalty at Orient away in front of the away end. So we should allow it. I'm of course talking about John Ruddy.
Nice.
I can't remember the year, early noughties. I think it was the year Claude Loire and Hervé Renard kept us up.
Was that 2004? 03, 04?
I think it was 03, 04. And then I think we went down 04, 05. Yeah. And that was, I remember it because I went to uni that year. But yeah, I mean.
Oh God, Joe's going to have a meltdown.
it's just 20 years since my freshers week, whatever. I mean, the history books won't tell you the full story about how they scored said penalty first and the ref made them retake it. And he saved the retake. You just remember that
that's class.
And obviously like big away end, London away days. We all love it. Laurie McFun threw up over a police officer. It was a memorable day for many reasons, but John Ruddy, who went on to, I believe, get an England cap, play in the Prem, his debut, that was pretty special. And I remember later that summer seeing him in the Regal. And I was like, I know you're not 18, mate. I watch Cambridge United. So yeah. So I was going to go with John Ruddy.
Did you grass him up?
Absolutely not. I offered to buy him a picture of Woo Woo and he said no. the offer still stands if he's listening.
John, if you're listening, you got a Woo Woo on you, Tass.
In the Regal. I think it's fair to say he's moved on to better things since then. Dude, this was like right at the start of like when I started going, really. So I remember seeing John Ruddy play for us, but not like anything of like hype around him or the sort of... did you like know then? Did you feel like when he came in and did that, you were like, well, right, we've got a player here? Or was it just a bit like, that's a good start, let's see what happens?
Because of the position, right? Like the cliche about, you know, goalkeepers, they always just get better with age, so on and so forth. So to have like a 17, 18 year old come in who one was just so in, I don't know, stature wise was so imposing, like a big lad for like his age. And then, yeah, just to do something like that, it did feel like, yeah, or there is something here. Cause it just feels like that position and that age isn't something that they would rush you in your debut, like, you know, like a pacey winger or like a quick forward who's like 18, 19, you would definitely throw them in because you're like, oh, they might mix it up. But like, I don't know, goalkeeper feels like a more trusted position and you'd really think twice before throwing a kid in goal.
Interesting.
Don't throw kids in goals.
Any other debuts? Any other shouts? I've got one which I couldn't get out of my head, and it was actually the first thing when I think George put this in the chat after Fleetwood, and it's for all the wrong reasons. And it's just the debut that I always think come to, which is Jordan Jones.
This is the reason why we didn't talk about it on the pod at the time. Yeah. We only got one answer. It was you. It was a bad answer. It's like, no, we'll move on.
I just can't get it out of my head. Like, Jordan Jones played 45 minutes for us. It was absolutely terrible. Got hooked at half time and then has gone on to like have like a pretty good career. Like,
played for Rangers, didn't he?
Played for Rangers, yeah. Sunderland, Wigan. Like, I just remember like after that game thinking like, God, this guy's got nothing about him. There's no way this guy's going to go on and have a good career. And then he goes on and plays for Rangers.
Like, I think that position where he was playing as well, like that's a pretty inconsequential position.
Yeah.
Like, you can just fade through a game and do nothing. And it was, oh yeah, yeah, he was playing. To look genuinely bad, like noticeably bad in 45 minutes is quite impressive, to be fair. Let's be fair, we could go on for hours about people who have come in with a bit of hype around them and just done nothing. And
yeah.
What about Nathan Blissett? He scored like...
Hey, great shout. 13 he scored after seconds like, in.
Yeah. Is that, I think that's probably still our fastest ever goal.
It's got to be. At Southport on a Tuesday. Yeah. That's good, a great days. Shout.
I had another one because it pops up on memories recently because it was sort of a January time of year. And... of this parish, Owen said he never liked this player, but McGeehan scored twice and made a goal on his, debut.
Literally just about to suggest that. I just couldn't remember if it was his debut or not. It's just before the Man United game, right? Was it?
Is it his debut or home debut?
Newport?
I thought it was Newport.
We won 4-0.
I remember that game because Tom Champion looked like he'd broken his leg during it.
Yeah.
I'm just gutted for him because obviously he's like such a big player. Yeah, McGeehan had a bit of a touch, didn't he, there, really?
Yeah.
Came in, played United twice and fucked off. So decent.
What about Kwesi Appiah? Now, am I misremembering? Or was his debut at Wrexham?
So Tom earlier said we're always
going
to come back to Barry Corr.
Yeah.
I feel like we're always going to come back to Kwesi.
I don't even remember his debut, so it can't have been that good. But
He set up a goal. I think he set one up for Cunnington. Maybe. Do you know what? I think it was that Gateshead game. Is that the one when Richard Money went a bit mental?
That was Salisbury when he went mental, I think.
All right.
I think. Oh, I don't know. He scored in that game anyway.
Probably did. He scored in a lot of games. Yeah.
Anyway, there's going to be a lot of this on this podcast. I was trying to remember things from about 10-15 years ago and not quite getting the facts right. Anyway, good answers. Tom, do you want to dive into the mailbag and read the next question?
Yeah, I'll take this. I'm going to direct this, I think, to Jordan. Steve has asked if a seated Habin is a good idea. You're the Habinite of this pod, Jordan. What do you reckon?
I mean, you're wise to come to a Habinite for some reason first. you should do that with all arguments. Good question. My answer is a regrettable yes. Yes, I think it is a good idea to seat it. There's a group within the United fan base, I don't know how big, maybe a few hundred, maybe a thousand, that I fall into that likes to stand at games but also prefers the view from the side of the pitch rather than behind the goal. and we are the group that are going to lose that should the plans for the redevelopment of the ground go through, which is a shame. I think there's going to be a lot of people that will be upset about it. My take on it, though, is whilst it is sad to lose that, we have to remember the bigger picture here. We have to think about the benefit, what would benefit the club as a whole more than just us, and what will benefit us moving forward. And the answer is, look, we need more seating in the ground. It sells out first every time games sell out, or even if games don't sell out, the seating seems to be sold out. It's not just the seats, but it's like the facilities and everything that you would associate around it as well. So, I don't know, better toilets, better features for, you know, disabled fans, everything like that. So yeah, it's a shame to lose the standing along the side of the pitch there, but I do think it is for the best. So yeah, I think it is a good idea.
The biggest question here is about the floodlights, surely. This has been hot topic on the message board recently. George, how would you feel if the floodlights went?
Gutted. Really, really gutted. So like, I feel like the way that I walk to games, coming from Mill Road or the Romsey side and coming across the Common, I feel like I appreciate the floodlights maybe more than others, because you sort of come under the railway track through that weird, dodgy little tunnel that you're pretty sure someone's going to beat you up at. And you just step out onto the Common on the other side and you just see them, especially on like midweek evening fixtures. And it's just such a beautiful sight and such a reassuring sight. And yeah, it'd be really, really sad if they go. I hadn't even really thought about them going, but it kind of is inevitable, isn't it?
It is a bit, isn't it? Yeah.
It feels like it's going to be like nigh on impossible to like redevelop that bit of the ground without at least getting rid of one. Yeah. And it feels like if you get rid of one, they might. Well, actually, it'd be interesting because like, I guess you can't really do much with the ones on the main stand side. So it's just going to have to be like those ones. You know what? Like, you know, the Abbey is what it is, right? And I think that the notable thing that people always comment on when they come to the ground for the first time is things like walking through a field full of cow shit and how far away the south stand is from the pitch. But like, the floodlights are a proper like source of light. It's such like a lower league fan thing, isn't it? Like, but that's a real source. They are undoubtedly the best in the football league, probably in the country. I'll be more than happy to stick my neck out with that one.
They they moved them once before, like when we did the south stand. They moved them and twisted them. Like, I don't know if you sort of noticed at that end, the angle's a bit more like flat onto the pitch. So I doubt they're going to be going through the effort of doing that again. And I imagine they're quite hard, like the upkeep on them must be really difficult as well.
Yeah, definitely. I was gonna add to this, like, we're recording this the day after having played Exeter at home away, and I noticed their complete lack of floodlights first of all, and it was something that sort of maybe hit home ever so slightly that, like, you know, once we redevelop some of the stands, like, that might just be the way ours goes. And it's actually sort of a feature that you get very used to when you go every week. But, you know, you sort of notice it once it's gone more than anything. And the second thing, which is something that we've had a lot of questions on, I think it's sort of linked to Steve's original question, is about the big bank at Exeter, which obviously stand in the away end. And the whole game, like, Tom, we kept turning to each other and going, God, that is some terrace, isn't it? And I think it's probably up there. What do we say? That and Halifax is probably the two best in the country. I mean, how exciting, you know, George mentions there that, like, standing on the side of the pitch is obviously something we'd lose, but then the sort of flip side to that is if they have been seated, the rumours are that then the NRE turns into a 4,000 capacity terrace. How exciting is that, Tom?
Yeah, that'd be like, it is a quality thing, the Exeter one. Like, it's just like the carbon copy, isn't it? Like, you've got to take that and do that, basically. Yeah. You know, in our own way, I guess. Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I guess the difference with the Halifax one is like, we never like saw or experienced that when it was full. So like, the difference with the Exeter one, like on Saturday, was that it was just rammed. Like, you could tell, like, particularly at the top, it's just like everyone's like squeezing in, like having to like fucking push bars to get through, sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, that'll be a nice consolation for you, will it, George? You know, you might not be able to stand on the side anymore, but you'll have a really nice view from behind the goal.
I was wondering if you'd asked me this question, like, would I swap to the NRE so I could stand? I would be very intrigued, because I think what the NRE struggles with is kind of like the angle and the pitch of the terrace, and that's why it's really sort of difficult to see. So yeah, like, a better pitch higher up, you probably would be getting a better view. I think ultimately by the time all this happens, I probably will, it'll be a few years, and hopefully I'll be taking baby Wes to games, so I probably will still end up in a seat, but I'll be thinking about him and his future in the NRE and his journey through the club. But you made a point there about Exeter and it being full and things like that. Is there not a part of you that's a little bit worried, like, of the flip side, and like, we've got this 4,000 standing terrace and there's no one in it, and it's like, there's no atmosphere, there's no noise, it just looks a little bit embarrassing, because like, at the moment we probably would fill it, or we'd definitely fill it on certain games, but you know, we might not always be in League One, we might drop down again, and then, you know, attendances shrink and stuff like that. Like, is there not a part of you that's like, actually this only works if you can like guarantee to have at least half full?
A little bit. I think first of all, it's almost like I hope it'll be a bit of like a self-fulfilling prophecy, or like a self-filling thing, where like, because it's so much better of an experience in a terrace like that in League One, we actually attract a lot of younger fans, because it's probably quite a unique experience compared to going to the Premier League, and an impressive one, much more so than like a small terrace like the NRE. So you'd hope that that exponentially grows our younger fan base. But you're right in that if we're in League One, I don't think we'd struggle for it to be fairly full most weeks, especially if it's the only place you can stand. I think you'd get a lot of people from the Habin come across who prefer standing, whatever the view is, and then like, you might get more families in the Habin, and that, you know, all of this is more revenue, right? And it's worth saying that obviously the plans for the ground are supposed to come out at some point in the next couple of weeks, so we'll know more then and probably talk about it on future pods. But I think the worry is that if we get relegated and you're suddenly like, I don't know, I'm looking at like Colchester or someone like that, and you're suddenly like a sort of towards the bottom ends of League Two and floating about a little bit down there, and our crowds sort of drop to 3,000-4,000 or something, and there's no big boys in town anymore, it's like, suddenly, you're right, Jordan, is it going to look a bit spacey?
All the flags are just tied up to sort of like block up the space, and
I guess like the point is like, the purpose of redeveloping the ground is to build a football club, which, all right, you might get relegated, like, shit happens, but you kind of build an infrastructure of a football club which kind of belongs at the level that we're at now. And currently, I think you could argue that we don't have that. The training ground has obviously been, you know, a huge improvement, a huge bit of work, but like, the ground does need sorting out. And I think we'll probably have less concerns about, can we fill a massive terrace, than just making sure it's there, basically.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
I do have some requirements for a redeveloped Habin, though.
Oh, here we go.
Hit me with them.
I'm really enjoying the brew board bus. So as long as there's some nice brew board pints, and we've not been paid to say that, by the way, if you're thinking, it's cozying up to the sponsors, Julian Rockstar.
Open to it.
Yeah. Send us some stuff and we will plug it. Yeah, not too much positivity allowed. You know, you're right, we can maybe get more families in there, but no positivity. No day trippers, and also no one trying to sing anything other than Yellows.
Yeah,
and we'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think they should sort of build in like the smell of farts, or do you think that's just going to happen naturally?
I think that's a Swindle thing, isn't it? So it depends where he is.
Anyway, on that note,
no, didn't the ground used to be like, didn't they grow like celery or something where the pitch is?
And hell of a tangent, that, Jord.
That's probably what the smell is, mate. It's just the natural
it's Ian Darling's
odor
veg
from
patch.
There. Yeah,
yeah, that'll be it.
So it's rotten cabbages.
Look, I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about the ground in the next few weeks, but good to get Jord's opinion there on a seated Habin as the resident Habinite. Jord, do you want to dive into the mailbag, do the next question?
Yes, please. It is from Tristan, who has made an assumption that we're not going to try and answer the question about where the Dion money went, although I'm pretty sure Tom wants to touch on that. No, but his real question is, he'd like to know if you think we as a fan base have lost a bit of perspective. And I'm assuming by perspective, he doesn't mean the terrible view from the NRE. It's just like the bigger picture stuff. So who wants to crack on with that one?
I've got an answer to the perspective thing. And then Tom, you can answer where did the Dion money go, if you want. I think this is an interesting question because, look, it's been, what, an interesting couple of decades, right, following United back in the third tier now. And I think the answer to the question is like, sort of depends where you think United should be playing at. And I think for me, you're only losing perspective if you think if you the last 2 decades, right, have been, let's be honest, like pretty disastrous, right? If you think about almost going into administration, spending 9 years out of the league, failing twice to get back into the league much earlier than we should have ended up doing, then sort of stumbling in League Two for so long, obviously eventually getting to a place here. And I see Tristan's point that like it's easy to sort of forget where we've come from. But I just think we can be a bit more ambitious than that. I think you've got to think about what Cambridge United can be and where you think Cambridge United naturally should be. Like, I think it's a world famous city that's growing exponentially year on year, that has more and more, you know, people and potential fans every year. I just think our ceiling is so high as a club that I think if you don't set those sorts of targets, it might look like losing perspective, but I'm sort of flipping it the other way. That's like, well, actually, like, let's use this moment to be as ambitious as we can and build foundations for a club that will never end up back in those depths. That's sort of the way I'm looking at it. I don't know if you two agree.
I think that, like, it's really easy to just like frame this as something that kind of comes out after, for example, an away point at Exeter, when we feel that we could have been a bit more expansive, played a bit more attractive football, tried to go at them a little bit more. And then it's like, oh, don't you remember where we come from, sort of thing. And I feel like it's at times used too much as like a deflection tactic from what's going on the pitch. Like after like Posh, for example, or Northampton or Lincoln, or chats around like when, you know, we were discussing whether it was right or wrong to sack Bonner. And it's just like, I have a bit of perspective, but yeah, that's fine. Like we appreciate all of this and appreciate that the football club has progressed hugely in the last decade, really. But like that doesn't make terrible performances on the pitch kind of acceptable. You know, we understand what our limitations are as a fan base. You know, I think pretty well. I think we're pretty understanding. We've always been quite patient. And obviously, you know, we've just talked at length about the ground. We know that's essential to any ambitions of probably going further than where we are now, longer term. So I don't think so. To be honest, I don't think we've lost any perspective. I think the fan base is pretty good with it. Just like at times we get pissed off if we lose games heavily or in poor manners, and yeah, that's where it's at.
George, you're a bit longer in the tooth than us. It'd be interesting to see what your perspective is on it.
No, I was kind of similar to what Tom was getting at there. Like, I think the two are very sort of separate topics. Like, perspective is one thing, and then the other is sort of the here and now, and it's, I think it's harsh to judge fans for judging what they're seeing in front of them, which is the quality of football. Like, they come to Cambridge United to be entertained and to watch, yeah, like an entertaining game. And like Tom says, the Exeter game was not entertaining. The first half against Fleetwood was a terrible, terrible representation of League One, the Orient game. So like, it's, you know, a lot of the games under the tail end of Bonner, really, really sort of negative and poor football. So I don't think it's, yeah, I think it's a bit harsh to sort of judge fans for sort of commenting on that, because, you know, they're, you know, you're paying your money to watch something that you want that entertainment from. So yeah, I don't know. I think it is easy to lose sight of what we've accomplished and where we are.
I was just going to ask, where do you think Cambridge United's natural position is?
Mate, I was going to ask you exactly that, because you mentioned it in your answer about, you know, about sort of what is our natural level. And to be honest, I can't imagine it. I can't see it being much higher than where we are, sort of like a lower half League One club, possibly even a League Two club. Like, if you're looking at like the full sort of history of it, like bar 4 or 5 years where we really sort of flew up the leagues and, you know, nearly made the Prem and all this, that and the other, kind of around where we should be. Maybe a little bit higher, and until everything else falls into place, like updating the ground, you know, getting sort of the, you know, the fan base up, which we have seen, like the attendances this year have been amazing. Until that sort of is not just a flash in the pan, and it is like year on year, which I think we're moving towards, I don't think we are sort of, I don't, you know, I think we are, sorry, at our natural level.
Yeah, I think you're right. Tom, what do you
think? Quite hung up on that, I think. Like, we're quite hung up on like what is our natural level, and if we're above it, great. And if we're slightly below it, then we need to work to get to where we should be, sort of thing. I think there is a bit of a tendency to really kind of obsess about this among just generally like football fans, like, oh, they're playing above or below the natural level, whatever. But I'm not being funny, like, you know, to take it to like a bit of a silly extreme, like Brighton's natural level isn't in the Prem, it's not in Europe.
Yeah, and it was Brentford, like, right? It's probably Bournemouth. And
no, absolutely not. And I reckon, if you know, George, you obviously have more of an affinity with Brentford than some do. I reckon if I swung that question at you, you'd probably say their natural level is probably quite similar to ours, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, for years, we were in the same division as them. Like, bugs me every time I look at the Prem and the Championship and look at a whole list of clubs that we've played, not just like a one-off, like, you know, QPR were once in like League One or whatever, or Man City, but like on a regular basis. And using your Brighton example, like, they nearly dropped out of the league. Like,
I'll clarify that the point I'm making is not that we should be aiming for the Prem.
Why not?
It's kind of a matter of priority. The point I'm making is that this doesn't have to be like a limiting thing. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. Right, natural level is probably like sort of,
there is
top 10 League Two, but push for higher, man.
There is a common theme in the two clubs that you've just used as examples there, and that is new grounds, moving away from their natural home to bigger places, not very far down the road. In Brentford's case, you look at like other clubs that we used to play on the regular in League One and League Two that have gone higher and have gone to the Prem. Again, there's a similar theme there around facilities and new grounds, and I don't know, thinking of clubs like Swansea and Wigan and all that.
Interesting.
So I'm not here saying, look, we need to move to a new site. God no, we've just bought the Abbey back. But I do think, like, the point around the club that you're building, which I think we've all touched on in this pod so far, is kind of like a reflection on your level, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the ground is going to be obviously a massive, massive part of that, isn't it, in terms of the future. Let's do one more and then wrap this mailbag up. I'm going to go with Denton's question here. So we're going to compile this together. This is, what are your top five and worst five away days? Apparently the football cannot be counted in the reasoning as well. But I think it's going to be quite hard to answer without the football, at least the ones that I've got.
Best or worst first?
Let's do best first, I think. Because I think the worst ones could be funnier. I've got five. Should I list you my five that I did before and see if anyone agrees? I've got an obvious one, Orient 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, I imagine you've got that one as well.
Oh wait, are you doing the result? I thought it was just the.
We're doing specific games.
Oh, okay.
Specific games.
Didn't all get an agenda.
I thought football was not part of the reasoning.
Well, it's not. I mean, just that day was incredible.
Because we won 3-1.
As well. I think that's what I mean, though.
Like, it is difficult to separate at times. Like, I think, you know, we as match-going fans, I think we're quite good at separating the football from the rest of the day. But in terms of the best ones, normally it's enhanced because the football's been quite good, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, the ones that I've got and written down,
I bet they're all wins.
Bar one.
Yeah, I've got a draw.
And then, I've got one where we've gone there and shipped five goals twice, just purely because I really enjoyed the stadium, the pre-match, the atmosphere.
Which ones have you got? Go on.
So the one I'm talking about there is obviously Sheffield Wednesday. Enjoyed that as an away. I had Orient down. Mm-hmm. I had Newcastle down, which I know is not an obvious, it's not a normal away day, but that was more because of just like the way that the stadium just appeared within the city and the pubs and all the stuff. I really enjoyed that. The complete opposite, I quite like the charm of the village team that is Accrington. Enjoyed Accrington away.
I've got Aki.
And then my final one, and Tom has alluded it to this earlier, but my association with the Bees, I've actually got Brentford's old ground, Griffin Park there. But
the
two times we've been there, been great away wins. So yeah, that one is kind of football related.
The only other ones that I've got Notts County, which I think has to be in this conversation. I've got the 1-0 when Taylor scored and it was like a quitter ticket or whatever it was.
Yeah, great day.
I've also got Barnet 2-2.
Is that Hooters in Nottingham?
No, it's definitely Hooters. I've also got Barnet in the promotion year, the 2-2, that late kick when Quezzy scored twice. Like,
The flair and they had a goal disallowed.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, yeah.
What an
absolute Richard Money post match when asked about it just went, well, I didn't set it off. It's just the best answer.
Brilliant.
Didn't say you did, Richard.
Yeah. Tom, have you got any others?
I'll be honest, I found the best ones like really difficult to do, like to separate from football. And I was trying to do that as much as possible because I feel like I just reel off like Newcastle, Ipswich, Man United is probably a good one.
Oh yeah, Man United,
yeah, fair enough. Just because, like, you know, watching us play at Old Trafford, like, and it's just like an incredible experience, and you know, you can tie in Newcastle and obviously go, you know, like Sunderland, Sheffield Wednesday, as Jordan mentioned into that. Obviously Newcastle, the football was incredible.
Even better when you see a goal there, mate. Even better when you see a goal.
Yes, sort of set you up for that one, didn't I?
Yeah.
I always really like Crewe. Like, I really like going to Crewe.
Hey, that's a great shout, Tom.
Yeah.
That's a really good shout.
But again, like, we've always done quite well there. Like, the football's always been quite, like, a big part of it, right? Like, as it should be, I guess. otherwise, it's simply just a day out in Crewe. The one I was kind of... I was hesitant on this, but I would also maybe say Carlisle, just because, like, it's a...
For the journey.
Actually, I'll tell you what. I'll backtrack on that one. I'll say Plymouth. Back, because it was a real experience that... Tuesday night, got the sleeper train back, got back into Paddington about 5 o'clock in the morning. And we got a point. So not...
You've also not been thrown out of Plymouth yet.
Oh. Well, we'll see. So they were the ones that sort of came to mind. But other than that, I am literally just going to be reeling off like big wins and stuff.
Yeah, it feels like, I think it's hard to avoid like Orient, Notts County, Newcastle, Man United, and like an other, maybe, I think, in terms of like days that we've had. So
it's like an Ipswich as well, isn't it?
Oh God, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
But again, that's so linked to the football, isn't it? It's so hard to split the football up from the thing. But I think, Jordan, if you're happy, I think we should go with Crewe, because I always have a good day at Crewe, even if even regardless of the football. So it feels like that's maybe an interesting one to throw in. What about the worst ones?
Yeovil.
That, I mean, surely
it is again like slightly football related, but that we lost there under Calderwood, I think it was 1-0. That is the worst away day I've ever done, ever. It was fucking horrendous, just the whole day. It's miles away from any train stations. There's nothing in Yeovil, obviously. It's crap football. It's a terrible ground, and it was just a wholly miserable day out, start to finish.
I'm not letting this
natural level now, aren't they?
I'm not letting this conversation go any further without Milton Keynes coming into this equation.
Absolutely
has to be the worst.
Again, I've separated sort of the football from it, and just the fact that, you know, as a place to go, it's really, you know, the ground's really soulless, getting in and out, the emptiness of it, you know, the fact that that stadium should be at a higher level than like the crowds and the games that are going on there.
It's horrible. Proper horrible. Forest Green?
Which one?
All of them. We literally have never
won. We talked about this yesterday. there will be hopefully someone listening. If this applies to you, please do get in touch, because I'd like to know the level of sadism that we've got in our listenership. I think we played them 15 times away from home. We've never won. There'll be someone there who's been to every single game, not seen us win a single one at Forest Green.
I went to the very first one, to the first game in the conference.
Was that at the same ground, or was that an old ground?
That was the old ground. That's why I asked like which one. I think like they're not that far away from each other. It's probably not a small place. But in terms of like days in football, having someone in the away end try to throw a punch at a former United player, that was pretty pretty low, man. Like pretty low. Although, to pick it up, bear in mind this was I can't remember if it was our first game or our first away game. I'm pretty sure it was our first game in the conference. So not really too sure of how bad to expect things to be. I remember at halftime, the little old man reading out the halftime scores literally paused partway through and said on the mic, "Bear with me, everyone. I'm just waiting for CFAX to refresh and go on to the next page so he could finish doing the scores." And I was like, wow, amazing. What have we let ourselves in for?
Finding out what a Canvey Island score is. That's something to look forward to for everyone.
Lads, I've always had a love-hate with Oxford away. Like, I've always enjoyed going to Oxford, the city. I've enjoyed being in Oxford, the city, and had fun. But the football ground part has been terrible.
Here's one for you. I was actually going to suggest it for one of the best days where the football had no impact on the day, when we lost 4-2 the other year, which I think we all went to. And we had a great day out, sunny day. the football sort of had no bearing on how good the day was. But I'm
Sam
also
Smith
gonna...
tried to ruin it.
But, yeah. Yeah. I'm also going to throw it into this because I think you're absolutely right, George. As far as like actual away days go, I think it might be the worst in the Football League for me.
When you just stood in the ground looking at a car park.
It's terrible.
Because there's no stand. It's quite demoralising.
Then when we went there on the first game of the season, it was like 35 degrees. And the only place you could drink was in the Hollywood Bowl. There's the sports bar inside the bowling thing, which has got like no windows at all. It's like the most disorientating place you've ever been. I was going to suggest Mansfield, which I always hate going to.
I had Mansfield on a long list, but cut it.
Okay, fair enough.
Crawley was one of those. Always used to be bad games.
Mansfield is one of those that should just be so much better.
Yeah, because it's near Nottingham,
isn't it? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll go Nottingham.
Crawley, I feel like I've had some good days at, you know, mate. Like, I don't mind that pub that's nearby. But it's a bit sort of, I guess it's a bit tin pot as a ground. Any others?
Do you know what? I'll vouch for Luton, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it's really underrated. People obviously just hate going there because it's Luton, and that's absolutely understandable, absolutely just. And we've obviously had some absolute stinkers there over the years. Also some good days, but I think, you know, it's obviously like quite talked about now, isn't it? Like the away end and stuff. It's a proper football stadium, that.
Yeah.
Always like going there.
So far we've got Forest Green, Yeovil MK that I think we're all pretty agreed with. Any more? Does anyone want to really push one of theirs?
Gillingham was a pretty terrible away experience.
That's a good shout.
Yeah.
That's a good shout. I love Gillingham, 100%. Terrible away end as well. Really bad. Actually, weirdly, like when we're in the open terrace at Accrington, you could maybe chuck that in there, but I don't mind Aki so much.
But Morecambe.
Great shout, Tom. Great shout, Tom. It's too far away.
The Northwest taking one hell of a beat.
I feel like you can't throw in a ground where Matt Caspall was able to infiltrate the chairman's box. I'm sticking up for Morecambe here, and also
Fleetwood, then?
the Mullin hat trick there, and Wes's first goal for us.
Yeah, we couldn't go to that, could we?
It looked really sunny though,
yeah,
didn't it?
It looked great on TV.
Yeah.
What about Fleetwood? Well, I suppose you're in Blackpool. You can always have quite a good day out in Blackpool.
I was thinking for like best away days, just like listing off like seaside clubs.
Yeah,
I think I went to Scarborough away years ago. Which was a terrible, terrible ground, but you're like, you're by the seaside, so it's fine.
Is it a bit remiss of us not to chuck Histon in here?
Oh, yeah.
Just for the worst day of my life. Yeah.
Let's have Histon instead of Morecambe, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So we've got FGR, Yeovil, MK, Gillingham, Histon. I think that's a pretty solid five worst.
Oh, Needham Market was fucking brilliant, by the way. I enjoyed that.
That was incredible. Yeah. That's one of the great arenas of football. What about Curzon Ashton, Tom?
Canvey Island.
Canvey Island, yeah. Do you know what? Do you remember doing that?
Yeah. It was like a mud bath, wasn't it?
It was a proper mud bath, yeah. Braintree was always crap.
We could honestly sit here, I genuinely believe, for hours. I reckon we could do an entire day just talking about how some of the shit days out we've had watching this football club.
an A to Z.
Maybe that's what we should do for charity or something. You know, do like a 24-hour pod where we just talk about the shittest days following Cambridge United we've ever had.
People only tune in for the last hour of that, because that'd be really good. That'd be really good value, I think.
But now let's wrap this up. This isn't a 24-hour pod. That's the first mailbag, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to crack on with them every month. So at some point next month, we'll do a little shout out for some more questions. If your question didn't get read out, we've got them all written down. So there's a strong chance they'll be on the next pod. George, thank you for joining us for the first mailbag.
Thanks for having me, lads.
Thomas, always a pleasure.
Isn't it just...